Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Easter, everyone, celebrating today. Happy Passover for the Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Serbian Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox, go down the list. Happy Palm Sunday to you. Next week will be your Easter Sunday. You know what I miss being in this building? Our new building here at, where are we again?
303 East Wacker Drive.
That's right. I have it pre-programmed in my phone, so I don't need to remember the address anymore. And that other building we used to be in, the dump over there.
The dump.
They're doing
some work on it, too.
Have you seen that?
Yes, we were looking at it this morning.
Yeah, they've gutted some of the floors that you could see right through some of the windows over there. And it's about time, because really, it was a dump over there. It's about time they've done something over there. Because God knows, for the 30 years that we were there, they didn't. But anywho, our studios, of course, were right on Michigan Avenue. And from time to time, I do miss being right on the Magnificent Mile, especially Easter Sunday, because that was the day where people were all dressed up, families strolling the avenue. I saw tons of people coming out of Holy Name Cathedral this morning. All dressed up, and it was just kind of beautiful.
And on a day like today.
Perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Perfect day for strolling the avenue or, you know, wherever you go. But I used to look forward to seeing, you know, families, generations together, either, you know, maybe they were coming out of an Easter morning service. Maybe they just went for a nice early brunch. We would see that every Easter Sunday morning. And now, you know, now what do I see? You two.
Navy Pier.
Sorry.
Because yeah, I've got the blinds closed, so I'm not seeing Navy Pier. I'm seeming very antisocial today with all the blinds.
Not any more so than usual.
Yeah, well, that may be true. Andy, have you had a nice weekend? I heard you yesterday.
Yeah.
With Pete McMurray.
Yeah, we had a little fun yesterday.
Talking about eating and nutrition.
And I was getting shamed at every turn.
You seem genuinely stressed at that.
Yeah, I was a little stressed out. But then I had a good time last night. I went to see the Yacht Rock Review at the House of Blues.
Oh, fun.
What a show.
Is it sort of like a cover band doing songs from the 80s?
Yeah, 70s and 80s.
Hall and Oates.
A little Summer Breeze, you know.
Seals and Crofts.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Good time. It was packed in there, too.
I'll bet. Yeah, that seems like that would be a good event for a holiday weekend.
And, of course, I ignored everything the nutritionist said because I went to have dinner and I had some drinks last night.
Nachos. So you have nachos?
No, I couldn't have nachos. A Passover situation going on right now.
Oh, but, that's right. That's right.
It's all good. I can. I'll save up for a rainy day.
So you have to eat certain foods, right? During Passover, but it's okay to drink?
Well, you know, technically I probably shouldn't have.
Were you having manischewitz at the House of Blues?
That would have been really cool. That would have been a nice little story. Yeah,
you know, manischewitz with some sparkling water in it would
be. Yeah. I kind of
like
just
a manischewitz spritzer.
I kind of just avoid the bread.
Oh, okay.
And anything that is like a bread product.
Like that's not leavened.
Correct. Like rice and all those kind of things you can't eat during the week.
Oh, okay. Well, those are all the carbs that Pete was nagging you about not eating yesterday.
Exactly. And then earlier in the show, I was getting shame for my lawn being bad.
I didn't hear that.
No, part. it was just shame Andy day.
I did hear. I mean, Pete was merciless on you yesterday. I will say
we went to school together. I have things on him, so he should watch it. You know.
All right, Pete McMurray, embarrassing fact number one.
His name is Pete McMurray. No, just kidding. I can't divulge those yet. I have to at least give him some fair warning so he has time to prepare a counterattack.
All right, if you want to be fair about it.
It's the holiday thing, you know. I got to be nice on Easter Sunday, Passover continuing. Palm Sunday, as you pointed out, for the Eastern Orthodox. So I want to be nice today.
Look at you. Look at what a nice person Andy is.
That's just today, of course.
Andy Mazur is.
Thanks. Thanks for not shaming me so far.
No, I felt bad for you.
It was okay.
I felt bad for you. I had that urge like all of the hosts sometimes feel when they hear something happening on the radio to call in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like, I don't want to be that guy.
It would have been fun, actually.
I don't like to be that guy. I know it's not my show, but I felt compelled to call in.
And I needed a teammate. Come on.
You did need... You held your own.
Okay. I could take care of it.
You held your own. Yeah. Okay. It was very entertaining to hear you both.
Thank you.
Yesterday.
We had fun.
So this, what was the band called? Yacht Rock?
Yacht Rock Review.
Yacht Rock Review. And
it's hard to say. But
it's not a band that we would know, but just like a cover band doing songs from that era.
Yeah, and there were some of the members were apparently members of some of those groups that were being played at certain times. But these guys seemed really young, and it was, they played, of course, the Toto songs. They played Africa, and they played Rosanna. They played Summer Breeze.
Right. I can't go for that.
They have a rich girl.
I just wonder if they have the original records like I do.
Nobody has the original records like
no,
you do.
No, they don't. But I'll tell you
the 45s, is that what you're talking about?
Yep. Yeah, or the 78s.
You still had 45s?
I do.
In the 70s? In the late 70s?
Yes.
You're still buying 45s?
Well, yes.
It was funny. I was kind of hoping Shawnee was there because at the very beginning they say, who's still listening to 8-tracks?
Who's still living in 1960? One hand goes up.
Who likes Leave It to Beaver? No, just kidding. It was really kind of cool because there were a ton of different aged people there, from like young enough to that. I thought, how could you know any of these songs? To older than, you know, hey, you're older than me. What are you doing here?
Right, right. It's it's a very interesting thing how when you see younger people at a show that you would think would appeal to older people.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out when you talk to them, it's not a pleasant thing when you talk to somebody to find out why they like it, because what you'll find out is my parents used to play this music all the time.
Exactly.
I grew up listening to it, and you know, like suddenly you're Grandpa Jones.
It's funny you say that because there was a 32 or 33 year old person standing next to where I was. And during my group, the conversation came up and it was like, so what are you doing? Well, my parents used to make me listen to these.
Right.
I hated the songs then, but I love them now.
Right, right.
Oh, great.
And it doesn't seem like all these songs don't seem like they're that long ago.
No, they really don't. And
but really, like,
they are. Rich Girl was 1977.
That 33-year-old that you were talking to wasn't even born.
Exactly.
I played that when I was a DJ.
Yeah.
Rich Girl.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
But it was fun.
Yeah,
it was
2 minutes and 15 seconds of rock and roll, man.
That place was packed last night. It was incredible.
I'll bet.
Good show.
It was a good night last night, too. I mean, the weather-wise, it was nice.
Yeah.
People were out last night.
We could play Summer Breeze in light of the weather forecast today.
It makes Shawnee feel fine.
Shawnee's living his playlist.
Going through the jasmine in my mind.
Living through his... You are so lucky that we don't have a producer anymore who has the 40-year-old rule.
Yeah, I know, because that thing would be buzzing constantly.
I have been asking our engineering department to hook up some electroshock therapy to Shawnee's chair.
So that's why Jim Holland was in here Friday afternoon.
Right, and when he starts digging back, which is like every 5 minutes, where he starts going back, we just send a little electrical current. Nothing to hurt him.
Yeah, we can put the...
Just a reminder.
The eject button on there, too.
That wouldn't be bad. Yeah. That wouldn't be bad. It's all good memories. Actually, you know what? I'm going to break the 40-year-old rule big time in about a half an hour.
Okay.
We're going to talk with the director of a documentary that's being made on the legendary Chicago radio DJ, Dick Biondi.
Hmm.
A big documentary is in the process of being made, and they're having a big fundraiser for it. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to play... I was listening to some clips of Dick Biondi's old shows from the 1960s. All I could do was think of you, Shawnee, during this whole thing and how much you're going to get a kick out of.
I'm going to love this.
Just hearing how DJs were back in the 1960s and the music that they were playing and the radio jingles.
Now, actually, my first exposure to Dick Biondi was not on WLS. He did Middays and Afternoon Drive.
Super CFL.
And Super CFL. And this was long before I knew about the mythical fight and everything else that happened at WLS and how he got let go there and then how he came back and did a brief stint on BBM-FM, I think.
Yes, he did.
In the 1980s?
Yeah, when they had gone a full top 40 in 1980, they brought him back.
They brought him back.
And that revitalized his career. Until recently, where I don't exactly 100% understand. I know he's not in the greatest of health right now, but I don't know if he left his most recent job because of that, or they just decided that they wanted to move. I don't know what the history is, but here's what I know. This guy is a legend in Chicago radio. And
really in national radio.
National radio.
He was one of the pioneering DJs in top 40 radio in the country.
You know, they claim that he was the first DJ ever to play a Beatles record.
Wow.
I don't want to dispute the documentary, but that's considering how involved Murray the K and other legendary DJs in New York were on all of this. I'm questioning that, but we'll find out. We're going to talk with the director in a little while and find out.
Ask him if he has all the original records.
It's a woman who has directed this.
Ask her if it has all the original.
You just presume that
records.
If it's a documentary, it must be a man. Yeah. Could possibly be a woman.
Ask the director.
Woman
if they
could
have
possibly
the
direct
record.
A movie.
I will be happy to loan them some.
Okay, so anyway, that's coming up, and we've got the cast of Footloose from the Marriott Lincolnshire. They're going to join us. We're going to learn more about the Hamilton exhibition that is going to be opening next Friday at Northerly Island. Lots of stuff coming up today here on Dean Richards Sunday Morning WGN.
Summer breeze.
At the House of Blues, holding his drink up toward the stage.
I found the set list. They played 28 songs last night.
Wow.
And they came out cooking with Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Of course.
Did a little Chicago Saturday in the Park. Nice. They did some Dancing in the Moonlight. Then they got a little more 80s. They did Steal Away, Somebody's Baby.
That was
baby.
The theme of our prom.
Why
Dancing in the Moonlight.
Steal Away.
Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun.
So they did a bunch of Doobie Brothers. They did some George Benson. Lido Shuffle from Boss Skaggs.
Oh, cool.
Ooh.
Easy from the Commodores.
Nice.
You they know did. I'm easy.
They had like four in a row that were unbelievable. It was Sister Golden Hair from America.
Right.
And Summer Breeze, which you
did
just
heard.
Did
they do Ventura Highway?
They did not do Ventura Highway. They did Baker Street from Jerry Rafferty.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
And then Rich Girl, Africa. But the one, I was just telling Rick Pearson, that the one that brought the house down was Escape, the Pina Colada song
from
River Holmes.
Oh.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And they ended, they did some Huey Lewis. They did Heart of Rock and Roll, She's Gone from Hall & Oates. And then they ended with Rosanna, and they came back with their two encore numbers, and it was You Can Call Me Al.
Oh, yeah.
And then they ended with Boston's More Than a Feeling.
You Can Call Me Al. What an odd selection.
Yeah, it was
in
a little bit
bunch.
Odd. Yeah, we were kind of wondering about that as well.
I like the song, but it doesn't fit with everything else.
No, because it was it did seem oddly out of place. They did Ride Like the Wind from Christopher Cross, but they did not do Sailing.
Takes me way to where I always.
It was pretty good, though.
That sounds
you
fun.
Made fun of me singing.
Yes. What's your point?
Yeah. It's a good thing nobody was there that I knew because I was singing up a storm
I'll
as
bet
well.
I you were.
Yeah.
I would have been too.
It was great.
Yeah. That's fun. Fun, fun, fun. And a nice song for today, too, the Summer Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what we're going to have. Shawnee's got the forecast and all the news for us up next here at 9:31. Shawnee, what's going on?
We're all together now. We're all into the whole world like a fire. What a beautiful day. It's 39 degrees and the winds are
was it 12 miles an hour there? Time is 15 past here tonight. Cloudy tonight, a few light showers likely and colder, low in the middle 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy and colder with a few light showers of close flurries likely. High near 40 there. I want to say thanks to Bill Bailey from Calumet High School who stopped up to see us today. And he walked in. He said, boy, you get uglier every day since last week. You look bleh. Oh, boy. I want to say hi to Epi Margaret in Charleston, South Carolina from Diane Edwards in Chicago. Love and kisses to Nancy of Obinson from Diana of Obinson. And Joe, Sharon wants to with you. Go study. And Robin wants to go study with James. And Dave loves Betty in hometown. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful, huh? And I'm also an honorary member of the Barnyard Bullies. Well, how about that, huh? Pretty wonderful. That's what... Here is Bobby V, and the night has a thousand eyes.
To do that more on our show here, announce who's going steady with who. The great Dick Biondi from 1962, when he ruled the airwaves on WLS back in the day, heralding in the top 40 era of radio in Chicago. There are not too many radio personalities in America that can say that they have spanned the decades like Dick Biondi has, from the 60s, really up until fairly recently. He was on the air having fun and playing rock and roll, and now a documentary is being made to honor Dick Biondi, the Dick Biondi film. Its director, Pamela Enzweiler Police, joins us on the phone line right now. Pamela, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on, Dean.
You must get goosebumps, I'll bet, just hearing Dick's voice back in the heyday.
You know, it takes me right back to, I'm still living in the past, let me tell you. Doing this project has been so much fun. It's just incredible. I got to meet all of the artists that I grew up with listening to on the radio, you know, making this project. I never in a million years would have dreamed this happened to me, especially after I retired.
Right. Well, I was a little kid growing up on the South Side, and when I was listening to some of these old tapes of Dick Biondi from the 60s and 70s, I realized that it was guys like Dick Biondi that had influenced me without me even knowing it. And when I remember,
I can imagine
how much fun that they seemed to be having so much fun.
Have fun.
And I would tune in every night. I'd have my little transistor radio, you know, an earplug so my parents wouldn't know that I was listening to the radio when I was supposed to have gone to bed, listening to all this. And I'm sure that that must have had some kind of influence on me. And you were also a kid growing up listening to Dick Biondi and all the others from back in the day, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was 13 when I met Dick in 1961. I was already a huge fan, and when I met him, I just couldn't get over what a humble, nice person he was, because at the time, I knew he was popular, but in my research, I found out he was number one disc jockey in America that year and the following year in 62. A lot of people think Dick is just a local DJ, but, you know, his name and his voice have been known across the country, and actually outside the country. When he was at WLS in the early 60s, that signal was so big, it took his voice every state in America, plus up into Canada.
Sure, boomed out everywhere.
And it bounced around the world.
he was such a unique kind of personality as well. I mean, you know, other DJs, even on the top 40 stations, you know, there was a certain amount of decorum to the other DJs who were playing the same songs, but Dick just seemed to be, you know, saying whatever came to his mind, and I'm the ugliest guy on radio, and singing on top of a pizza, and like all these crazy things that were happening. It's not a surprise whatsoever that people from all over America, not just Chicago, from where he emanated his show, but from all over America, we're tuning in to hear, what's this crazy guy doing? This crazy Italian, as he used to.
It was infectious, really.
Yeah. When did you get the idea to do this documentary on Dick?
You know, it's a crazy thing. Ever since I met Dick, and I've known him my whole life, I've had a file folder with all my, you know, little clippings and so forth, and it's always been something I wanted to do, is tell Dick's story, but it wasn't until I started to get into video production and started making these little video memoirs that I started showing them to Dick, and he really liked them. And I kept thinking in the back of my mind, gee, I wonder if I could tell Dick's story. But I knew it was such a big story, and I knew I'd have to come out of my comfort zone to do it because there's all these rock and roll stars and radio people, and, you know, and it was a big, you know, I had to make a big decision. And but I did, and I said, you know what? What the heck? I've got to try it. So it's just been unbelievable. It's been 5 years now. I've just, the thing has snowballed. There's so many people that have jumped on board to help me and get this thing going. And it's just like this grassroots movement to get this film done for PBS. And it will run on PBS. WTTW wants it. There's other stations around the country that want to run it when it's done. We just need to find our financing and our funding. And that's what we're holding this big fundraiser coming up next Sunday at the Bourbon Street on the south side.
Oh, that's a fun place.
It's a fun place.
We do our annual St. Patrick's Day broadcast for the WGN TV morning news out at Bourbon Street. And
absolutely.
Technically, it's Marionette Park, I think, but it's like 115th and Kedzie, something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. It's 3359 West 115th Street.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's a fun place. It's enormous and it's fun. And you've got all kinds of bands that are going to be performing, and I mean it's quite an evening that you've got planned.
Well, it's actually an afternoon from 2 to 6.
Okay,
because we figured, you know, our audience is mostly baby boomers,
right? We go to bed early, right?
Yeah, you got it. So it includes a buffet dinner, beer and wine and soda all afternoon, and we have a lineup of fabulous Chicago '60s bands that are playing. Headliners is the New Colony 6.
Wow.
And we have special guests, Jim Peterick of the Ides of March.
Cool.
Carl Giammarisi of the Buckingham.
Right.
Jay Reinke of Jay and the Americans. And Dennis Stefano, the original voice of the Buckinghams, all performing.
Wow.
So we are so thrilled to have these guys. These guys are huge.
It's going to be
a lot of fun.
That is going to be a fun afternoon, and it's April. So next Sunday, a week from today,
correct?
April 28th at 115 Bourbon Street, which is it's basically 115th and Kedzie. And if people want to get more information on the event itself, what's the best way to do that?
Go to our website. And it's dickbiondifilm.com.
Okay, I want to take...
And there's a little button right there. It says fundraiser. Click on that button. There you go.
Okay, we'll remind everybody about that again in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I just want to talk about, you know, everyone has been concerned. How is Dick doing? What's the latest? I would imagine you probably have the most updated information on that. Let me take a break and we'll come right back with Pamela Emsweiler-Police, who is the director of the Dick Biondi film, the documentary on one of the most legendary radio DJs of all time. That's all next for you on WGN.
WCFL.
There's new adventure always in Adventureland.
The great Dick Biondi,
Super Himalaya, imported
going from WLS to WCFL.
Largest roller coaster at Adventureland. There's always
playing the hits,
new at Adventureland.
Cranking out some of these great old commercials.
Every day is an adventure.
The documentary is called the Dick Biondi film, and it's directed by Pamela Emsweiler Police, who's on the phone line with us right now. Pamela, walk us through Dick's career here in Chicago. It started at WLS, right?
That's correct. And actually, when Dick was in high school, he used to hang out at the local radio station. And he got the bug early on when he was 8 years old, actually. He read a commercial on the air, and he got hooked. And he was just, you know, he had this dream of becoming a very well-known radio announcer. And he, as soon as he got out of high school in 1950, he went down south to Alexandria, Louisiana, and he started playing race records. You know, that was rhythm and blues,
right?
Before it was called rhythm and blues. And, you know, he was often the only white guy in the club, and he really got an education down there and fell in love with rhythm and blues. And when rock and roll hit, he went to Youngstown, Ohio, and he was ready to, you know, he was ready for rock and roll because of his education down south. So, when he suddenly became this really big popular DJ. He started, you know, playing records and people would go out and buy them, and he was known as a hit maker. And he just, his popularity grew and grew. He knew that when he discovered rock and roll, that was it. He was, that was where he wanted to be. So after he left Youngstown, he went to Buffalo, New York, and he was really big
enormous, was it?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then he got fired, which is something that Dick did often.
How many times was...
25 times.
How many times? 20, he was fired 25.
25.
That's even more than Steve Cochran. That's hard to believe.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
I mean,
yeah.
He kept moving around the country, and that's why he's known everywhere.
Right. So that brought him to... Did that bring him to Chicago?
That's when he came to Chicago, yeah. And in Chicago, that's when he found his greatest success, and that's when his dream came true. And he loves Chicago. He just loves it. This is his second home.
To put it into perspective, at the time, WLS was playing country music.
That's right.
And it was, what was it, like the Prairie Farmer? Something like that.
Yeah.
It could not have been any different from... What it suddenly became when they flipped the switch, and it became a top 40 station, and you know suddenly they were playing all these songs, and this crazy guy was on the radio,
exactly,
screaming and doing all kinds of nutty things like that. I can only imagine.
And the farmers were not happy.
The farmers, I'm sure, were not happy about the whole thing. So what happened? He got fired at WLS. Was that the real
he
deal
got
story?
Fired. It's going to be in our movie because there's a lot. The urban legend is still alive, Dean. This is just amazing. All these years later, people still ask. It's one of the first things they ask. Did he get fired for telling that dirty joke on the air? Or, you know, the truth of it is, well, I really don't want to tell you the truth, but one of the rumors is that he got in a fist fight with his boss over the amount of commercials
that
were being played.
That's what I heard.
So, We're gonna go back and forth between those two.
So see the documentary.
What is the truth?
See the documentary to get the truth. From there, he goes to WCFL, where
went out to the West Coast.
Oh, he went to the West Coast first.
Yeah, KRLA, and he introduced the Beatles. You know, I didn't mention this when he was at WLS. He played the first Beatles record on the air in the country, and it was a year before they appeared on Ed Sullivan. And nobody really cared. I mean, they were like, who's this?
Right.
You know, this is so different.
I've heard lots of people make claim to the fact that they were the first ones to play the Beatles.
Yeah, but he really is.
Okay.
It's documented.
All right. Fired at KRLA?
I guess you'd say that. He always says fired,
He wears that as a badge of distinction.
And then
came to Chicago, back to Chicago?
That's correct. Well, in between the stints, he had two stints at KRLA. In between there, he did a show out of New York City, and it was a nationally syndicated program for Young America.
Wow.
Mutual Network.
Okay.
And that lasted a year.
Okay.
And then he came back to CFL.
Yeah, okay. And then had a very long career there. Went away for a little while, and then came back to Chicago in the 1980s. And was on a variety of radio stations then. It's a rather remarkable career. And a rather remarkable story. Tell me how Dick Biondi is doing right now.
Dick is doing well. He's retired now. He retired in April of 2017. At the time, he left the air because of a leg ailment. He was intending to come back. It just hasn't happened. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's retired now and enjoying his retirement.
Okay.
So
we're
happy for him.
Good deal. The movie... Yeah. The fundraiser for the movie is going to be next Sunday, a week from today, at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park. You can get more info at dickbiondifilm.com. Pamela Enzweiler Police is the director of the film, and I'm glad you could join us today, Pamela. Thank you so much. Keep us posted on the progress with it all.
I will, Dean.
All right?
Thank you for having me.
We're going to update
and
news.
And happy Easter.
Thank you, and same to you. We'll be right back to update news next on WGN. Power. Happy Passover! Happy Easter! You familiar with this group, Andy? The Maccabees?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like this song, too. I hate to admit that when I was a kid, I wondered what Anu did to make people want to die.
That's the name of the song, yeah. Dianu. Yeah. Dianu. It's a traditional Passover song. I was first introduced to this song when I was over at Casa del Smooth many years ago, and somebody had done a smooth jazz version of it, and it really was just a really nice song. And then explained the significance to me that it's traditional for Passover. But this group, the Maccabees, have taken traditional songs, and as you can hear, they jazzed them up a little bit. It's a heavy metal version of
some of the Seders nowadays have a cassette, or not a cassette, a CD now, that would kind of it was cassette when I was a kid. Sorry
now
about that.
Talking.
Flashback a little bit there. Sorry about that. The Dianu kind of take me back to a simpler time.
Right.
But they do have CDs and MP3s now of the Seder on disc. And you read the prayers, and then if there's a song, you hit the play button. Yeah, and it just kind of entertains the kids a little bit, too, that are at the Seder.
Like multimedia, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, there's a projector, a screen, and all that kind of
Them. I saw some videos that some friends of mine have posted of their Seders that are extremely elaborate.
Yeah.
Extremely, extremely elaborate. So, you know, I guess it comes in, you know, everybody does it a different way. So, happy Passover to everyone is the point. And everyone else celebrating Easter today, happy Easter to you. And as we had mentioned, for the Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, today is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday will be the Easter Sunday. As I've explained many times, it's so that we can get the Easter candy at half price. And I always leave a little space after I say that for my mom, who may be listening, going, that's not a funny joke. Stop telling that joke after all these years. And when we come back from the break, Mike Hammernick is the man of the day with an incredible forecast. They'll give us all the details on our Sunday forecast and look ahead to the week coming up. It's all next for you, WGN. Meteorologist Mike Hammernick, I know I may be rushing it slightly by calling it officially summer. Summertime is here, but I don't care. It's almost going to be 80 degrees today. Come on.
It's going to feel like it, Dean. Yeah, absolutely. That song, was it War?
It is the group called War,
1975?
1976. You're very close.
Almost. It is going to feel like summer, especially compared to last weekend. You remember last weekend we were talking about heavy snow?
I was shaking my head driving in thinking about what was I driving through last week? I've got my windows open today while I was driving, enjoying it. It was so nice this morning.
Yeah, what a change. From back-to-back Sundays, we go from 4 inches of snow to almost 80 degrees. And we've been talked about this occasionally, how volatile the weather can be at this time of the year. We can have teens and snow, and we can have temperatures well up into the 80s, close to 90 degrees at this time of the year. It's the only time of the year that can happen is late March and through April. And boy, we certainly had a taste of it over the last 7 days here in Chicago. But what a day we have going on today, expecting a high of 78 degrees today, only modest lake cooling along the lake shore. So if you're going to be hanging out downtown or along the North Shore, it will be cooler, but upper 60s along the Chicago shoreline and maybe mid to lower 60s along the North Shore. So that's really nothing really significant.
Still very pleasant.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those nasty pneumonia type of cools. It's going to be just a slight southeasterly trajectory to the wind. So and it's only going to be confined to the immediate lakeshore, too. You get away from that lake wind a mile in or so. You get past Damon or Western on the north side of the city. It's going to be around 80 this afternoon, upper 70s. Just gorgeous, gorgeous day for this Easter. Not quite the warmest Easter, Dean. That was back in 1977, speaking of the 70s.
Yeah.
85 degrees on Easter Sunday back in 77. And the coldest, 19 degrees. And you go, low of 19. No, that was the high. And the high was 19 degrees on Easter Sunday here in Chicago back on March 25th. And I think it was 1894.
Shrawny remembers that. Shrawny was just a kid then. He remembers that.
I can't even fathom a 19-degree high.
That's a little bit crazy, right? The so closer to the lake that you are, the cooler it's going to be. So does that can we extrapolate opposite from that the further away you are, the warmer it's going to be?
Well, no, because the lake, I think 95% of the area, the Chicagoland area, the metro area, is going to see high temperatures from 75 to 80 this afternoon, and it's only going to be that very narrow strip along the immediate lakeshore, the north shore and along the immediate lakeshore in Chicago, that will see temperatures maybe the mid to upper 60s, around 70. The lake breeze isn't going to penetrate very far inland at all, so it's only going to be a very small portion of the Chicagoland area that will have to deal with that cooling. But everybody else, 95% of the area, will see highs of 75 to 80 degrees and mainly sunny skies all day long, and modest winds, too. The winds aren't going to be all that strong like they were a couple of days ago.
That's very nice. So how does this shake out now for the rest of the week?
Another warm one tomorrow, around 79, a few more clouds around, and a chance of rain begins to kick in around 6, but those showers tomorrow night are going to be scattered. They'll be along a cold front that will cool us down a bit for Tuesday and Wednesday, but only lower 60s Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we're back up around 70 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week, 70 to 74 degrees for the highs. So over the next 7 days, we have 5 days that should be 70 or higher, which is not bad. It's a bargain considering our normal high is still in the upper 50s at this time of the year. So an above normal temperature week, very spring-like week, and I noticed some buds popping on the trees, so we should see a lot more of that going on with these warm days over the next 7 days.
I had quite a few people last Sunday during the blizzard asking, are my little budlings, the things that have been beginning to pop out of the ground, are they going to freeze with that snow that we had last week? And I guess I didn't really know the answer to that. As I was trying to find the answer, the snow had already melted by the time I found out. And it doesn't seem to have done any damage. I guess you must need prolonged cold, sub-zero, in order to kill any growth that may be coming.
Yeah, and a lot of trees, yeah, absolutely, that's right. I don't think it did too much damage. And a lot of trees have a built-in mechanism, too, where they'll only sprout, 30% of the buds that it will produce over a year, this early. And then, a couple weeks down the road, it'll produce another 30% of its buds. So it's a built-in mechanism protection. If there is a freeze, that it only kills 30% of the buds, not the entire tree for the rest of the year. So yeah, a lot of plants and trees have a built-in mechanism to deal with the cold weather. That's my point that I'm trying to get across, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I'm this is the Chicago weather pessimist in me. I still have not put away my snowblower for the season. I know I need to take the gas out of it. I need to, put the other stuff in it to stabilize it for the season until next winter. I'm not 100% convinced that we may not have one more snowstorm.
Yeah, I think we're pretty safe. I usually say tax day, and we're beyond that. And we came pretty close last week with that snow. But, yeah, I think we're pretty safe. I don't see anything remotely close over the next 10 days and even beyond that. We're getting above normal or normal temperatures now, right through the first couple of weeks of May. So I don't see anything really not only cold enough to produce snow, but really anything that looks all that cold for the next couple of weeks.
Now the Sox
you're safe.
Yeah, the Sox are playing the Tigers in Detroit today. Weather there similar to what we are having?
They'll be fine. Much better than yesterday. Boy, yesterday was just one of those awful days. It was like 40 degrees and heavy rain and a lot of wind, but much better today. Mid-60s in Detroit for the White Sox game, a mix of sun and clouds and very light winds. So, yeah, it'll be a huge improvement in Detroit today compared to yesterday. And, of course, the Cubs won't have any problem. It'll be around 70 at Wrigley today for the Cubs.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day.
Gorgeous
Wrigley
day.
Field, that's for sure. Andy, by the way, will have the White Sox pregame coming up at 11:35 this morning. Mike, you enjoy your Easter today, and thank you so much for a great forecast.
All right, Dean, you too. Enjoy the week.
And we'll check news coming up next, WGN. Not gotta cut loose. So bad that all they wanted to do was dance in this town? Did we have to make such a big deal out of it? I guess they did, otherwise there would have never been the Footloose movie or the Footloose stage production. We've all enjoyed so much through the years. The latest is just opened at the Marriott Lincolnshire. and features our guests this morning. I will introduce Aiden Wharton, who plays Ren in the production. Aiden, welcome. Nice to have you with us here. Scoot up to the microphones a little bit closer. Lucy Godinez is Ariel in the show. Lucy, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
I think you may have jumped the highest when the Footloose song came on.
Me?
I mean, you all started dancing in your seats.
It's a bop. Yeah, it's totally a bop.
You actually elevated about 3 feet.
Yeah!
In the chair when that happened. Kirsten Hodges is part of the show as well. Nice to have you back with us.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here.
To see you again. Sarah Renicki and Monica Ramirez, welcome to you both.
Hello.
Nice to have you. It's got to be so much fun, right? Being in a production like this. There's so much great music and, you know, it's such a fun story, right?
Yeah, it's a really wonderful production, and it's such a high-energy show that from the very first number to the very end of the show, it really doesn't ever let up, and it's just full of fun and energy.
Mm-hmm. I always ask people who do shows at the Marriott Lincolnshire or other In the Round theaters, is there a challenge to that? Having the audiences literally can reach out and touch you.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine that they do, probably. Right?
We have yet to experience anyone trying to reach out and touch us, but I'm sure they would if they
could. Distraction. There's got to be distraction.
Oh, yeah. Right? Because they're really, really so close, especially the people in the first couple rows. They're fully in light.
Yeah.
So they're basically part
they're
of the
part
show.
They're part of the show.
With us. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, but just being in the round where normally you might have some protection, you know, or be able to step off stage for a second. Yeah.
There is zero
protection, and we have a turntable, so that doesn't make things any easier.
Oh, so the stage actually also revolves.
Mm-hmm. I think also the challenge is just trying to make sure all sides are included in our action and dancing and stuff. That's definitely.
Now, how do you not get dizzy on those turntables?
That's you do. We're still practicing that.
I always say that when I watch my show. When I watch shows like that. Yeah. Or, you know, like Les Mis, where the thing is always turning. It's like I would be nauseous for the whole show if it was me, which may explain why I'm not in theater at all.
But we're like banging our heads and doing tons of dancing on this round,
and standing on tables.
Well, it must take like an extra amount of physical endurance, I would think. I mean, and seriously, it's one thing to do everything that you need to do physically on a stage that's not moving, but one that is moving, it's got to be even more challenging, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And Aiden, for you, I would think, you know, that much of the burden is put on you as kind of the lead of the show, right, Ren?
A fair amount, but even though Ren is the person who sort of is the catalyst for all this action, it really rests on everyone else's shoulders as well, because it's the whole catharsis, and we talk a lot about empathy in the show, but the catharsis for the rest of the cast, it's all their own personal journey. It's everything that they have brought through it, and I'm honestly so lucky to work with such a talented cast, because there's never a dull moment, and it makes the job really easy.
Occasionally we hear like real stories of little towns where dancing is prohibited. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, oh, it's the Footloose story. Let's come to real life. But there is sort of a timelessness of this story from time to time where, you know, people or kids are trying to do harmless things, and a town or group will protest it and stop it. So, I mean, there is kind of in a serious way a timelessness to the story too, right?
Yeah, and something that we talked a lot about kind of over the course of the rehearsal process was kind of how young people coming of age choose to express themselves and kind of learn more about themselves, and how dance in this particular instance is kind of the vehicle for self-expression and for identity, and how it's being free-spirited in this particular town, where being free-spirited is not necessarily, it's not conducive to free-spirited nature.
It's actually quite discouraged.
Exactly. And like Aiden said, empathy and really understanding and caring for and respecting the people that are around you and how they choose to express themselves is also a huge part of it.
Yeah, one of the other things about this show, among the many things, is there is so much great music in as part of it. Do you have, like, you know, favorite moments in the show, favorite songs that you all perform in the show?
My favorite is Somebody's Eyes.
Somebody's Eyes.
Holding out for a hero is definitely.
So we're going to hear that later.
Yes. Yeah. Cast fave and audience fave, I think.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And Mama Says as well, which is Willard's song. Yeah. And my love interest in the show. He's just extremely wonderful job.
Lucy, what about you? What's your...
I love Let's Hear It for the Boy, which is Monica's big song at the top of Act Two. It's my favorite song. It's so fun. It's just exactly what it is. It's just fun.
It's a whole party.
It's just a party. And
the audience
all
gets
inclusive.
Into it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's great. It's just fun to be on stage for that moment when we're all just dancing together and like we're all just having a good time.
I just want to hear it right now.
Miss Monica,
you ready? Sadly, we don't have the music for that. Aiden, what about you?
I think mine's the finale because audience and
Footloose?
Everyone
Footloose, yeah.
Has been on such a journey with us, and it's just a time to have a party and
just include everybody.
Cut loose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys are all free to dance once you come see the show. Come and join us dancing at the end. It's such a blast.
Oh, you encourage?
Oh, absolutely.
Get out of your seats,
Lincoln Shire.
It's required.
It's required. More like required.
Required.
I like that.
So if people don't get out, are you like dragging people out of their seats? No.
Yes, we do. We will drag
them. That's when I slither down in my seat. Maybe they won't see the bald guy. Right there.
It's not required, but hopefully you'll want to get up and start dancing with it.
Yeah, one of the great songs in here is Almost Paradise, which is going to be the first song that you do for us this morning. Who's on Almost Paradise duty?
The two of us.
That would be Ren and Ariel, Aiden and Lucy. Are you guys ready? Do you want to do this right now?
Yeah.
All right. So from the production of Footloose, that is at the Marriott Lincolnshire through June the 2nd. Here they are, Aiden Wharton and Lucy Godinez. Take it away.
Dreams belong to other men. 'Cause each time I got close, they'd fall apart again.
I feared my heart would beat in secrecy. I faced the nights alone. Oh, how could I have known that all my life I only needed you? We're knocking on heaven's door. Almost paradise. How could we ask for more? I swear that I can see you forever in your eyes. Paradise. I thought that perfect love was hard to find. Must have read my mind.
And all those dreams I saved for a rainy day,
ooh,
they're finally coming true.
I'll share them all with you. 'Cause now we hold the future in our hands. Whoa, almost paradise. We're knocking on heaven. Forever in your eyes, paradise.
And in your arms, salvation's not so far away.
It's getting closer, closer every day. Almost paradise. We're knocking on heaven's door. Almost there.
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's hear it. Let's hear it for the boy and girl. Sounded fantastic. Wow, that's nice. Beautiful.
Yay. Thank
you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice way to start a Sunday morning.
That's right. Happy Easter, one and all.
That's right.
Yes.
Holding On for a Hero was the other song that you guys mentioned after the break. We're going to get to that next.
All righty.
Footloose is at the Marriott Lincolnshire through June the 2nd. 847-634-0200 or Ticketmaster.com or MarriottTheater.com for more info. Right back with more next on WGN. We've got some fun going on here this morning. Greatest line that's ever been written in music ever. He's my one man Romeo. Gotta love that. The greatest.
Hey.
The great Denise Williams in the original Let's Hear It for the Boy. The are you guys singing along?
Hey. It's hard not to.
Yeah.
Maybe he's off key, but that's all right by me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a dance party. It is a it's a full-on dance party up in here today. Yeah, the cast of Footloose is here. The show that's going on at the Marriott Lincolnshire. I had no idea I was going to be unleashing this today. The show's going on through June the 2nd out at the Marriott Lincolnshire. One of the other great signature songs of the show is Holding On for a Hero, and who is doing responsibility for this one as well?
We got four
girls. Is this sort
here.
Of like an ensemble, little girl, all girl ensemble?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our little girl gang.
Let's take it away here from Footloose out at the Marriott Lincolnshire. Take it away. Mm.
If I could only find a guy who would make the first move.
If I could only find a guy who, when he went to kiss me goodnight, took the toothpick out of his mouth.
If I could only find a guy.
Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods?
Yeah!
Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising eye?
I'd like to know.
Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night, I toss and I turn.
Do, do, do.
wow, wow, wow. That's amazing. Yes. Give yourselves a big hand. That was so great. You know what I love? While all the ladies are working their butts off in here, Aiden is just sitting back in the chair. He's grooving. He's relaxing. He's like, I don't have to sing. I don't have to sing. But you thoroughly enjoyed every second of it. I could easily tell.
We love you, Aiden.
That's my favorite number of the show.
you ought to go see this show, Aiden.
You should come sometime. We'd love to have you.
It's quite great.
We'd love to have you.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, really beautiful. It's Footloose that's at the Marriott Lincolnshire through June 2nd. You can go to MarriottTheater.com for more info, Ticketmaster, or call 847-634-0200. Lucy Godinez is Ariel. I'm going to introduce all the women first since Aiden did absolutely nothing. Lucy Godinez and Kirsten Hodges, Sarah Renicki, Monica Ramirez, and Aiden Wharton is in the show also as Ran. Guys, thanks. You have two shows today, right?
We do.
We sure do.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Really. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Amazing. We'll update news next. WGN. Song from the musical that won, say, 11 Tony Awards. Hamilton the Musical, that has been wowing Broadway and has been here in Chicago since 2016 at the CIBC Theater. So much interest now in Alexander Hamilton and a greater interest in American history as a result of this show that is now, I guess you could say, expanding to an actual exhibition on Alexander Hamilton himself. Hamilton the Exhibition will open next Saturday on Northerly Island. It's put together by the creative team that put the show together, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who will be here in Chicago, by the way, next Friday, and I'm going to be talking with him. We'll bring that to you both here on our WGN radio show and also on the WGN TV morning news, but also by David Korins, who is the creative director of Hamilton the Exhibition, the set designer for the show in New York and Chicago and other cities where Hamilton is playing, and set designer for so many other shows, including the Academy Awards, I might add. David, it's so nice to have you with us on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and good afternoon.
So,
I'm calling in from Northerly Island, where I'm in the midst of building a building for you guys.
Oh, is that right? You're actually putting the structure up today, right?
Oh, yeah. We have been working around the clock for months, and we are working 24 hours a day getting ready for the big weekend.
So everyone has been asking, you know, is this an extension of the show? What is this exactly? And all I've been able to tell people is that it's a freestanding, kind of tent-like building that will be focused more on the life of Alexander Hamilton, the man himself. Have I been correct with that?
You've been mostly correct, although the tent-like building is much more like a solid airplane hangar-like building. It's really solid.
Wow.
It's about a football. It's about the size of a football field, freestanding structure. And it is. This is a 360-degree, fully immersive walk through the life and times of Alexander Hamilton. And if you are a fan of the show, you're going to have an all-original, reorchestrated and remastered mashup version of the score playing in every single room. And you're going to be able to go deeper and wider with the story of Alexander Hamilton.
And that will be in the way of multimedia exhibits, of actors who are in this football field?
There will be no live actors. If you're in Chicago, if you want to see the live actors, you can go check out the show. No, this is basically chronicling the life and times of Alexander Hamilton. You know, our show has become such an incredible portal to a conversation about early America and the founding of our country. Right. And I think the reason why we started this was, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda, our creator of the show, is very active on Twitter. He had gotten so many tweets when the show became popular about, hey, you know, it's John Lawrence's birthday, or it's the anniversary of Alexander and Eliza's marriage. And he started to respond to those things and realize that this this has become really a way to fan the flames of conversation about early America. And we thought to ourselves, what if we took the opportunity and really built on this education program that we have with the show and decided to make an exhibition that we've put together with museum quality rigor. And really, we engaged the services of Joanne Freeman, who is the world's foremost Hamiltonian expert. She teaches at Yale University, and she helped us put together our script. And we have taken a very, very deep dive into the life and times of Alexander Hamilton and what was happening to our country. It is really entertaining, though. You know, if you're coming just for a snoozy museum, you're not going to see that. You're going to see fully sculpted, totally dimensional environments, everything from St. Croix to what New York looked like in an abstract and wonderful way when Hamilton stepped off of the boat in New York Harbor, all the way through the war, the duel, and eventually his legacy.
What I love is how this has engaged people, and young people in particular, into being interested in American history. And there's been so much talk on the news, especially during this past week, of what the forefathers intended, what the founders of our nation intended with this document or that document. It, to me, is so relevant as to what's going on in America today.
Oh, I completely agree. Well, first of all, in the election of 2016, other than the two candidates, I would say Alexander Hamilton was probably the most pivotal person in the entire election. You know, here's a guy that created our financial system, created border control, created the Electoral College. And, you know, one of the things we tried to answer with this exhibition is, why do I care as someone in 2019? Why do I care about what these ideas that were created 250, 230 years ago? Well, as you know, from this week's news cycle, and basically every week's news cycle, we do care, we should care. The people whose names have lasted the longest, the Washingtons, the Jeffersons, the Madisons, the Hamiltons, those are people who had incredible thoughts and really intense and beautiful altruistic ideas that have lasted for hundreds of years. And they really do affect us, from creating the credit card to, as I said, border control.
Yeah.
Those were things that they were talking about 230 years ago. And, you know, we address a lot of those things in the exhibition.
Did you all imagine that this would become what it's become? When Lynn was putting this together, when you were creating the original set, when this entire creative team, I mean, you know, you were had this crazy idea for this show about Alexander Hamilton. Could you have possibly imagined, number one, its success, but number two, how it's gone so much more beyond that and stimulated all this conversation?
No. I mean, the truth is I'm happily in a place in my career where I can sort of pick and choose sort of the rooms that I want to be in with regard to, you know, I get offered a project and I can, you know, say, oh, this is going to be good or not. All I knew was my friends and colleagues were putting together a show and that I read the script and heard the music and I loved it. And that was my litmus test of whether I wanted to do it or not. No one had any idea it was going to be a big hit. And certainly no one had any idea it was going to become a juggernaut of a show. And then beyond that, no one had any idea that it would become this conversation about, you know, the country, civic duty, and all that. You know, that. So we had no clue. I think part of the success of the show is that it deals with so many different kinds of ways into the narrative. You know, there is a beautiful love story, incredible music. It talks about politics. It talks about, pop culture. The literati love it, and the everyman loves it. And there's been so many different ways into it that I think basically everyone who was important fell in love with our show, and everyone who was like a regular old person, like myself, fell in love with the show. And that just became, you know, this groundswell of conversation and then a lightning rod for more conversation. And so this is beyond, I think, any of our wildest dreams and expectations. But I think being part of the show has really, ignited in all of us the sense of civic duty and to try and help, cultivate more of a conversation between citizens of the country and citizens of the world.
Yeah, that's to me, that's what makes this so amazing. I mean, the show itself is a phenomena. But the fact that you're going to be able to open an exhibit like this, as you say, this 360-degree immersive exhibit to learn even more about Hamilton the man and that time period really says something. Now, this is going to be here in Chicago for a while, right?
Yeah, we intend to stay here for at least 6 months. And, you know, we chose Chicago because it has such a great and rich history with learning institutions and museums and exhibitions. But also, it's beautifully located in the middle of our country. It's filled with warm and wonderful people. Our show will have played to well over 2 million people by the time we open. And it was our first city that we brought the musical to after New York. And it felt elegant and wonderful to do the same.
And as Lynn and the show has been doing, they've been making not only the show, but will also make Hamilton the exhibition available to students in grades 4 and higher. So they also will be able to see the show as well.
That's right. I mean, one of the reasons, you know, another reason why we decided to do this was we have this really incredible EduHam series in which we bring school children to the show. We give them free tickets, and we start a conversation about America and the founding of our country. And we, the show is hard to get a ticket to. It's not impossible to get a ticket to, but it's hard to get a ticket to, and we only play to a certain number of thousands of people a night. This was a way to make the show and the intellectual property and the conversation more accessible to everyone. It's a much, much, much cheaper ticket price, you know, between $25 and $35. To get in. It is a kind of choose your own adventure with regard to time, meaning if you want to burn through the thing really quickly, you could be in and out in 45 minutes. If you want to take a deeper dive and sit and read and listen and learn and see videos and interactives, you can spend a couple of hours. And I got to say, I work on many, many things you mentioned at the top, you know, everything from Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars to the Academy Awards and pieces of theater. I have to say, we always are talking about demographics and who is the thing for. This is really and truly perhaps the best date night I have ever put together. Wow. You know, it's such a cool date night. It is a great thing for a family of four or people looking for something to do on the weekend, a single ticket thing, have a drink, go through the exhibition. It really and truly hits the mark as far as who it's for. It is literally for everyone, you know, 5 or 6 and above.
Yeah.
You know, I have kids, 2 daughters, and when I first started working on the show, you know, my kids were little, and I said, I played the soundtrack for them, and I said, you know, what do you think of the song? And instantly, when my then 6-year-old said, you know, the Battle of Yorktown, 1781, I knew we had something here, because now kids all over the country know so much more about history, and this is our chance to really address that and help teach.
Yeah, they've connected with the show. Is the plan to move this exhibition to different cities?
It is. We are currently scouting second cities. You know, right now I have my attention firmly on Chicago and getting this thing up and ready for everyone.
Yeah.
But yes, it will move, and it will move in 80 trucks.
Wow. Wow. That is rather enormous.
It is enormous.
On the WGN-TV morning news this week, on Thursday, we're going to be giving you a little preview. On Friday, I'll be talking with Lynn, and I believe you're going to be joining us as well, David, on television. You and Lynn, I'll look forward to that.
I go where Lynn goes.
That's not bad advice to use in life.
That's right.
And then the show itself will open on Saturday. You can get more information at HamiltonExhibition.com. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster. And, David, we're looking forward to meeting you in person, and thank you for spending some time today. David Korins, the creative director of Hamilton, the exhibition, and the set designer for Hamilton, the musical. Have a great day, David. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you later.
Quick break, and we're going to get to White Sox pregame next on WGN.